You are listening to The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin. To master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Once you walked in a forest of splendor in which everything you did and everything you thought was aligned, it is possible at this time to begin to return to the old knowledge. Intuitive healer and manifester Julia Griffin is here to talk about this unique time in history when all sentient beings, animals, plants, trees, and the earth are intent on creating this change. The wolves awakened her to the most incredible light, which opened gifts and brought knowledge that she longs to share. You are creators, and you were born to be creators of beauty, possibility, and joy. Join Julia on a journey into a beautiful and magical world where amazing possibilities exist. Let us help open the door. The power of inspiration and awakening with Julia Griffin starts right now.
Hello, everyone. I'm Julia Griffin at One True Self, onetrueself.com, and you're listening to The Power of Inspiration Awakening on Transformation Talk Radio. Today, I have a wonderful guest, friend, and colleague, Jennifer Hoffman. She has some wonderful thoughts to share with us, but let me go ahead and tell you about her. Jennifer is recognized as the world's most accurate, intuitive mystic. She's a leading voice in the spiritual awareness movement and an expert in congruence, vibration, resonance, alignment, and intention. She's also a top-selling author, popular radio host, business and life transformation catalyst, and spiritual teacher. Since 2004, she has published the weekly Enlightening Life newsletter with more than 4 million readers, which is the internet's oldest and most widely read publication. Jennifer provides life intuition, spiritual wisdom, and business savvy to a client base that includes celebrities, business and industry leaders, professionals, and other clients from more than 75 countries. Her website is enlighteninglife.com. Welcome, Jennifer. I'm so happy to have you here today.
Hey, Julie. I'm glad to be here. It's nice to see you in person since we're doing it by video this time.
I know. We talk on the phone a lot. And one of the things we want to talk about today is the way that we're seeing and feeling the current time. Jennifer's going to share her impressions. We've often talked about how strange the energy is. And sometimes we can feel like we've been between realities. So Jennifer, tell us more.
Well, we are between realities. You know, before, you know, I've done some videos in the last few years, so talking about how 3D is like a completely closed system. And as we started bringing more light and higher vibration and frequency into the system, we started to, you know, kind of like one of those, like expanding, like one of those sponges. You know, those sponges you can buy and they're flat like this, and you put water on them and they get like this big. So we are seeing literally the integration of light into the 3D paradigm, and we're between worlds. So for some people who have been waiting for this day because they have felt out of place for so long, it's a good feeling. For people who are at the other end of the spectrum, who are, you know, totally in 3D and this is their biggest nightmare, it can feel terrible. And then for everybody else, it's a, you know, it's a weird balance between light and dark. But, you know, we've been working for this. I think, and I have said this on your show before, and I say it a lot on my pages and to my audience, that Ascension was supposed to be this, you know, lovely walk in the park with fairies and unicorns and little sparklies everywhere. And it's been, you know, anything but that. And I think people are quite surprised that it's so difficult and that it involves so much chaos.
I totally agree. And that's one thing we're going to talk about a little later. For those of you who want to understand more what's going on, is how we can deal with the chaos, how our efforts with light actually do work. And then this in-between time, I've noticed over the last 10 days, I will put something on the counter or put it in a cabinet and I look and it's gone. And well, this morning with the French press, I rinsed it out and I was like, well, where's the top? I just washed it all. And I couldn't find it. And I thought, it's okay. Everything just comes back. Just wait a minute. And then when I put a glass in the dishwasher, it's in the dishwasher, but I don't put that in the dishwasher. And I think that in and out motion, it's like One moment 3D is solid, the next minute it's porous. Do you ever have that feeling?
I do. And I thought I was having a senior moment. So my cell phone broke. It was like, I'd had it for like 8 or 9 years. And just as a point of information, when your cell phone starts getting little purple dots on the screen, that is not a decoration. That's a sign that your phone's motherboard is failing and your phone is dying. So I had to buy a track phone because I couldn't find a phone. So I bought two phones. I bought a track phone first and I bought like another phone. I lost my track phone. I knew I had put it somewhere and I could not find it for like 2 months. And I finally found it where I had put it. I plugged it in and put it on the top of a cabinet and it was there plugged in exactly where I left it. But for 2 months, I scoured my house looking for that phone, could not find it. So this is, and I wrote a blog post and did a podcast a couple of weeks ago on multidimensionality. So this is what's happening. We have, where we used to have just straight solid 3D where everything was exactly where we put it. Now we have this mishmash of energies where part of our lives is in a higher frequency or 5D, part of our lives is in 3D. And going in between dimensions is really tough because you use different perceptions and different sets of criteria. Also, this is a time, especially like today where we're having this big eclipse, where you have to be careful because you can fall, you can hurt yourself, you drop things because things aren't exactly where you think they are. So just a word of caution as we're going through this process is sometimes you have to be physically aware of your reality. It's also one of the reasons why so many of us gain weight when we go through this process so that we stay grounded in our physical body.
That makes sense. And I need to tell our listeners that Jennifer does these wonderful things, I think, on Wednesday nights on Facebook, where she can go into a lot more detail about what she's talking about. And she answers a lot of these things on a more personal level. So if what we're saying piques your interest, I would encourage you to find her on Facebook. Now, one of the points that Jennifer made when we talked earlier is that it's not as much that the world is becoming darker, but that as we go to a higher level, we become more aware of it. So Jennifer, can you explain that to our listeners? Because you have a beautiful explanation of it.
Oh, and that's probably one of the toughest parts. So when you are in full 3D, you don't notice the darkness because you're in there. It's like if you are in a dark room, gradually your eyes adjust to the darkness and it just doesn't look as dark. But then you go out into the bright sunshine, it's like blinding at first. So as we are bringing in more light, not only is the darkness receding, but we're noticing the darkness. We're noticing things that we didn't see before because we were right there. The more light you absorb, the more light you integrate, the more darkness you can perceive, or density or dark energy or whatever you want to call it. And it just makes you more aware of the, what I call the energy gap now between dark, you know, really dark and really light. And then there's that whole 4D bridge in the middle. And most people are crossing over to that other light side because they're looking at the darkness and saying, okay, I don't want this. I want to be on this side. And what's difficult is that not everybody in your life is making the same choice. So you have within families, some people are saying, yes, I want to be part of the light. Other people are going, you know what? Thank you. I would rather sit in the dark. And don't assume because I said, made Julia laugh. Don't assume because someone's sitting in the dark is because they can't find the light switch. That's where they choose to be. And you have to honor those choices as tough as it is. You have to realize that there are people who look at the dark and go, you know what? I'm comfortable here. And other people who look at the dark and go, I don't want to have anything to do with that. You know, this is the separating the wheat from the chaff, as I've been writing for the last few years. And we're really seeing it. And we are going to really see it in the next few months.
The way that you said it that made me laugh so much, you said, just because that person's sitting in the dark, it doesn't mean they can't find the light switch. They may know perfectly well where it is, but they don't want to turn it on. And we're not allowed to do it for them.
No. We've done a lot of that in the past where we have, you know, superseded their intention and gone, you know what? I just think you'd be better off in the light. Let me just turn all the lights on for you. And now we have to honor their choices and honor, you know, accept their choices. And acceptance is not tolerance. Acceptance isn't, I know you're making a really horrible choice, I'm just going to ignore that for like the next 5 minutes until you change your mind. Acceptance is looking at that person saying, this is your choice and I accept that. And now I need to choose whether I stay here and wait for you or I walk away.
It's such a great visual, though, when you wonder why someone that you care about can't hear what you're saying, to see them going, well, I don't think I'll turn on the light yet. Not much you can do about that. So what do you think is the greatest challenge for light workers? I think there are a lot of challenges, but sometimes, I guess, judging from the people that I talk to, I would say that it's staying present, staying in the light and feeling encouraged right now.
That is a challenge because everything feels so dark and it feels like everything we're doing is failing. But it's successful, again, in the fact that we thought ascension was going to be this, you know, this beautiful, lovely walk. You know, I can just imagine with, you know, in wisteria covered arches and little birds singing and the butterflies flitting around, and we're just kind of sauntering down the ascension path. And instead, it's like a battle. And I think the hardest thing, well, I think there are a couple of things. One is to not feel like we failed because we're going through all of this commotion right now. But the other is, as you said, to stay present, to stay grounded, to stay in your own energy road and on your own energy path and ignore what's going on, because intention still counts. So the light that you shine may not be seen by the people you want to see it, and they're all rejecting you, but it doesn't mean somebody else doesn't see it and somebody else doesn't benefit from it.
And so there are sort of two pieces of that. One is knowing that the unseen world with the angels and the light is aware of us and is going like, wow, she's helping, let's send more light. And the other one is really in those moments of discouragement. And I know I certainly have them. And I just have to come back to, you know, the rule is that if I keep finding my inner self and I keep asking for light and using it correctly, the change is coming, because just as because of the way we perceive 3D or the physical world, it can feel very limiting, you know, like it's going to take forever for this to happen. Is it working? Those kinds of thoughts are really something we have to deal with a lot.
Mm-hmm. And the idea of judging what's going on or what we're doing or the success or failure of what we're doing by what we're seeing in the moment, you know, we're focusing on this little picture and not looking at the bigger picture. We always have to keep that bigger picture, and not just the 3D bigger picture, but the whole multidimensional bigger picture of everything, of all the moving parts that are going on. And that just shows, yes, we are making a lot of progress, but is everyone going to be on the same page, in the same and in the same energy, doing the same thing? No, it's just like when you go like to a concert. So I remember the last time I went to a concert, the headline band is always the last one to play. So I forgot who I went to see, but like I get there on time. I show up, I paid for all three bands. I'm going to listen to all three bands. So I get there and like the stadium's half full for the first band. And I thought, this is disappointing. And then you know, the next band, the stadium filled up. By the time the headliner appeared, like everybody was there. The stadium was completely full. Well, people kind of straggle along like that, just like everything else. Some people will be right at the door on time, or like my mother, 20 minutes early. Other people, you know, will get there just as they're shutting the door, and other people will come in 15 minutes late.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. I was thinking when you were talking about, you know, it looks like we're right here doing our work. If we think of like a movie, maybe even a science fiction movie, where all these things are happening in the corner of the screen, but all we can see is like the hero, you know, taking our next step.
Exactly.
So what's your favorite technique when the energy feels heavy or dense to you?
I'm a gardener. So, and I'm a very organized person. So if it's the weather's nice, I get out and I just mow the yard, clean the garden. You know, we've had a couple frosts now, so I've got to go clean up some things in my garden. I just go out, and even if I just go sit outside for a little while and let the sun shine on me and just take a few deep breaths. The other, and my audience always laughs at me, but we have the cleanest houses and the cleanest cupboards. I find that when a lot of energy is moving, I get the urge to clean my closets, to clean out my office. I move the furniture around in my office. I reorganize my kitchen. I cleaned out my bedroom closet. I cleaned out my linen closet. I get the urge to clean and move things around and go through stuff. And I went through some old pictures and papers a few days ago. I think one of the best ways is to get active, is to do what you're inspired to do. So if it's like, you know, I haven't cleaned that drawer out in a while, because you'll find something in there that you need or that reminds you of something, or, you know, everything has an energetic signature. So for example, going through old papers, I found a picture of my ex-husband who died a few years ago. And I sent one of the pictures to one of my children, because I just had this feeling like he needed to see that picture. And it was the day my ex-husband graduated from chiropractic college. And he, it was one of the proudest days of his life. And I sent it to my son and I said, you need to have this picture of your dad, because it represented a real milestone for him. And he said to me, I needed that. I'm not going to go into detail, but I needed to see that picture. So, you know, I think as we're moving energy in our own lives, we are also helping other people, kind of, we are rebalancing. What we don't understand about this shift right now is the entire earth grid, everything in the earth grid is being recalibrated. So think of what happens when you get, like, say you get a new sofa, and it's bigger than your old sofa. So all the furniture in your house has to be moved around, or in your living room has to move around to fit your sofa. So focusing on, oh, my life is in chaos and everything's falling apart, or, oh, this energy is coming in and it's just too much. If you take some kind of action, if you do something, or you realize, okay, everything is being recalibrated. What do I need to recalibrate in my life? How do I take action with this energy? I think it makes it a lot easier than, you know, to do something than to sit around and go, oh my God, the world's going to, you know, falling over a cliff. What do I do? Because that's exactly what it feels like.
I think another really interesting point that you're making is that the earth is going up in frequency. And when we go outside and we garden, or we do physical things and we inhabit our bodies, we're more in alignment with the higher frequency of the earth. And that is rejuvenating and stimulating and vitalizing, and sitting inside and not moving is going to take you in the other direction.
Well, and you sit around and you don't move, and then you listen, you know, watch a few things that come across the internet, and you get all worried, and now you're scared, and now you're really upset, and now you're not making good use of the energy. You're not putting yourself at a frequency where you can actually be more proactive with the energy and utilize it. You know, and those people who call themselves light workers or energy workers, your frequency is naturally higher anyway. So guess what? You get more energy than other people.
Right. And we also have to take on a certain amount of world karma, which is not always easy, but we are up to it. So over the long run, what kind of effect do you think that the eclipse will have?
Well, it's interesting because this eclipse mirrors the one that we had to the exact sign and degree on November 20th of 2002. And I just noticed something, and I put it on my Facebook page. If you add the numbers of the date of November 20th, 2002 and November 19th, 2021, they both add up to 8. You know, things that make you go, So we're seeing a cycle complete that began in November of 2002, that actually started in October of 2001 when the nodes changed sign. But think of what has happened, what has transpired, and which began in, you know, like 2001, and now is coming full circle. So before, and this is my interpretation of it, before we had this tremendous dark force unleashed on the world, right at the turn of the century, we turned over into 2000. And now we're getting an opportunity to send that dark force packing, you know, send it off the planet. We don't want it anymore.
So this is really interesting that you're saying it's an 8, because if you think about an 8, you're balanced at the top and the bottom. You know, it's almost like as above, so below, and so below, as above. The other interesting thing to me was thinking about the moon being exalted in Taurus, because that's a high vibration. Mm-hmm. That would be harmony. It would be like secure or stable emotion and living, which I thought, wow, that would be a big change if we could move into that. You know, because we have these highs and lows that we're going through all the time.
Right. Because every time we are open to more energy, we get a bigger energy, which then creates like a huge separation. So it's kind of like I went to the grocery store yesterday. So I took all the bags out of my car. I put them by the garage door, and then I had to take them from the garage door and move them into the kitchen. So I had this massive pile of bags at the garage door that had come out of my car, and then I had to move them, and then I'd put all the food away. So it's kind of like that. So we get this massive influx of energy, and then we have to decide how we're going to disperse it, where it's going to go, how we align with it, how we integrate it, and then where else it goes. So if we could see ourselves more as, you know, like people who work at a train switching station. So have you ever seen like a train switching station is where, you know, the tracks change, like a train's coming in here. Okay. It needs to go that way. So they, you know, they switch the tracks in different directions.
That's a really good explanation. So let's take a break. We're talking with Jennifer Hoffman. We've been talking about what the energies are like, what we can do with them. And when we come back, we'll talk more about 2002, the astrology, and help you explore what you can do with your energy. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay tuned. Hello, everybody. I'm Julia Griffin at onetrueself.com, onetrueself.com. You're listening to The Power of Inspiration and Awakening on Transformation Talk Radio. I have my very special guest, Jennifer Hoffman. We're talking about how the energy of the eclipse in 2021 is similar to the energy in 2002. And we're also going to talk about how both of us stepped into our psychic or cosmic careers at that point. And hopefully that will be helpful to everyone. So Jennifer, why don't you start with some of the changes that began for you in 2002?
Okay. So I would say 2002 was probably one of the worst years of my life. I lost my job, which I was in technology, and that was not uncommon, but I lost my job. I nearly lost my house. I had to move. I moved to Phoenix. And it was literally one of the worst years of my life. I've never been so scared. I've never been so, you know, felt so vulnerable. I've never been felt so out of control of my life. And during all that chaos, that's when Archangel Uriel came to me and said, I want you to work with me. And I said, no, thanks. I already have career path, but thanks for asking. I'm kind of honored to go find somebody who really wants to do this. I put my first website up in 2004, and 17 years later, here I am still. So I think what 2002 was kind of the great awakening. And I want to say more like the great wake-up call for a lot of people who had to do spiritual work or were called to do spiritual work, even if they didn't know it. You know, people like Karen Bishop, me, you, Rhonda Smith, who passed away a few years ago. If you look at the kind of the timeline of when we all started, it was right at that period, right around that time, whether we knew that this is what we were doing or not, or what, I mean, you know, don't get me wrong, right. I didn't volunteer for it. I wanted to be senior VP of IT in a Fortune 50 company. That was my career goal. So we are coming full circle now because a lot of us who have been doing that work are still doing it. And we think we're graduating to the next level. And this is a real shakeup too for the spiritual world, because not only do we have to now focus on whatever spiritual work, transformational work, energy work, light work that we're doing, but there's more of an integrative process that's going on too. So if you've been doing full on spiritual work, it's time to come back to earth and, you know, and figure out how to integrate that into this new paradigm. I always say that ascension is an integration, not a takeover. You know, we're not destroying the earth so heaven can take over. You know, think about this, what it's, that phrase is, heaven on earth. you know, we forget that this, you know, we are integrating this energy. So there are a lot of people, and I think they're really falling out of favor. I've never been a big fan myself, you know, who are so spiritual, like so focused on the spiritual side that it's hard to kind of bring them to reality. They don't say things that are really applicable to daily life. That's never been the case with me. I'm actually the very logical, grounded person. I'm very spiritual, but hey, you know what? I still eat 3 times a day and, you know, I still take out my own trash and do my own gardening and buy my own groceries. And I vacuum my house and organize my closets. So, you know, I think we're coming again full circle for us too, where there's more appreciation of the light. There's more appreciation of spirituality. Look at how much more spiritually aware the general public is. You know, you hear people talk about things like vibration and 5D and resonance. It's something you never would have heard of in 2002. When you talked about those things, people went, "Oh, right. You know, yeah. Now it's tell me more."
I agree. And I had the advantage of thinking about it while you were talking. That's when a lot of the music came in with the new sounds. A lot of people expressed more in 2002. A lot of people expressed much more of their message in depth. And that's when I quit my job, was the beginning of 2003, because it just seemed unbearable to do it. One, two, I couldn't find another job and I was making more money doing animal communication than I was at my job. So I thought, I'll do more of that. And it did work out, but it was a really frightening transition for me, I have to be honest, because I was like, oh no, what's going to happen to me? Nothing works unless I do this. Well, it worked. And so for people who are thinking about it, I would encourage that. But Jennifer is so right. You have to be practical. I mean, being in your body and doing practical things is part of how we learn whether or not what we're doing is working in physical reality. Sometimes someone asks me, why do you teach all these techniques in class? I said, two reasons. These are abbreviated forms of things that I took hours and hours to learn. Second of all, they work in the practical world. If they don't work and they don't at least affect a change in your emotions or your body, I just let go of those. I might use them on myself, but I'm not going to teach them. I want things that change reality and that you feel it in your physical being.
Well, and we have to be grounded because our work is here. All these people who are always saying, oh, I just want to go home. Well, if you want to really go home, that was part of what you were supposed to do. You'd already be gone.
Right. You and I had a similar experience. I know when I first started doing my readings, I'm thinking I quit my job the end of January or 1st of February, and it wasn't working out that well. And then a chiropractor in Atlanta invited me to come for a week of May Madness. And this odd thing happened, which was that when I did readings for their animals, everyone's back went into place. So then I started reading people too. Now, the reason that that works for people who aren't familiar, our energy field and an animal's energy field are somewhat connected. So if the cat felt better, they felt better. It was a wave of healing energy. I'll tell them what happened with your tarot readings and how you happened to do that.
Oh my God. So I could not find a job in Phoenix of all places. And I'm very technical. I have a business background. I have multiple degrees. I have a technology background. I speak 4 languages. Could not find a job. The only job I could find was reading tarot cards at a metaphysical bookstore. I don't know anything about reading tarot cards. I'm just really intuitive. And I was doing face-to-face reading. So there was no margin for error. The client was sitting right there next to me. So if I said something wrong, they could just get up and leave. And I was terrified. But what happened was I became the best reader in Phoenix. I was booked out for months in advance. And I had lawyers and doctors. My biggest clients were land developers. I remember one guy came in and was asking me about this piece of land. And I said, well, it doesn't have any water. I said, he goes, yes, it does. I go, no, it doesn't. The water's across the street and it belongs to that land over there. You need to work that out before you buy the property. And he came back and he said, you were right. I didn't buy it. You saved me $10 million. Darn, I should have charged him a commission. But I got my biggest thing was I did this reading, this store opening. So a man came in and he asked me if I would do a store reading. you know, like be at his store opening and be like the psychic. And I said, okay. So he initially booked me for like 2 hours, and he comes and he goes, there are quite a few people in line. Would you stay an extra hour? And I said, okay, fine. Well, I was sitting kind of in a place where I actually couldn't see around the corner. I couldn't see where the line was. And he kept on coming and saying, oh, another 30 minutes. I said, fine. And finally, he comes back and he goes, look, I had to end the line, but the line is out the door and around the block. So can you stay for like another couple hours? And I said, or at least until it's over. And I was doing like 5 minute readings, and people were coming out and they were saying, you got to talk to the psychic. She's like so good. And people were coming in and they were telling other people. So the line was building and building. I think I ended up leaving there at like midnight, and I got there at 7. And, you know, it was like the universe was telling me, you're going to be okay. You know how to do this. Just get out of your way. But it's, you know, I resisted it for a long time because it's not what I wanted to do. I wanted my backgrounds in business and technology. I wanted to do that. And I ended up being in business and technology in my business. But it was always also, as you had, this massive awakening. And I think if the, you know, the listeners will kind of go back into the, which by that way, that was 20 years ago. It's hard to imagine it was 20. I keep on thinking of 2000 is like 5 years ago. It was 20 years ago. But if you go back, something, and I've seen this a lot in my audience too, things happen at that point in your life that were either very upsetting, very life-changing, very transformational, you know, where you were kind of pushed into, you know, leaving a marriage, leaving a relationship, moving away, breaking up with a family member, losing your job, having to change careers, or even being thrust into, okay, now you need to do spiritual work. So, you know, have fun.
Right.
It was a tough time, but we're coming all the way back around now. It's like, it's not that our work is over. It just takes on a different dimension. We have a lot more participation. We have a lot more, I think, freedom now because so many more people have awakened.
I agree. And this is not something I normally say. Usually when people ask me, how can I find my purpose? I say, just keep working with love and light, your intuition, and see where it takes you. Well, Jennifer and I are good examples of what happens when you've done enough of that. We were just sort of thrown into the water. We weren't sure that it was our calling, but somehow or other, the universe made it work because I didn't know what I was doing and she didn't either. There was simply nothing else to do. So you and I both share the same feelings about readings. You're about one of the few people who's reflected the same thing that I was saying. But for both of us, when we do readings for people, which we both love, this most amazing light comes in. And you can feel it being transmitted to the other person. So you described that beautifully, Jennifer. Would you tell us more?
I've always thought that doing individual, so you're talking about like individual readings. So mm-hmm. I offer 30 or 60 minute readings. I do free readings on my weekly Enlightening Life Live, which I've done since every Wednesday night since 2005. I've done some kind of live weekly show where I do readings. Then it was on, I did Instant Teleseminar. I did Pal Talk. I did Blog Talk Radio for 8 years. And now I do it on Enlightening Life Live on my Facebook page, and I do it through chat. So just to know, I don't have to talk to somebody or just like you. To me, being accessible is part of the work that I do. And there's this transformation that comes from into people, or it happens with people when you're talking to them and you're giving them your full attention. And you say something to them, or you open a door for them, and they just have that realization, that insight that comes, and you just feel it. You can feel the shift, and it's forever. I mean, you know, it's like you can't unknow something. So once you know something, now this new perception has a place in your reality, and it's kind of bumped out the old perception, maybe not all the way, but now you have two different ideas. But I see it as part of my mission and part of my calling. I'm not the most expensive person out there. I never will be. I think people who charge like $1,000 an hour are just absurd. But I think it's incumbent on us, if that's part of your calling, to talk to people, to be available to them. That's why you're here.
It is the most amazing thing when it happens. It's making my heart open up just to talk about it with you. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that you get these answers for them that you would never get for yourself, and you can feel them take. And it's the strangest, but it's the most wonderful thing.
You do. Often you get answers for them, or you'll find like somebody will come to you with a problem that's similar to what you've got going on in your own life. And the answer that you get for them is also the answer that you get for you.
Yeah. Yeah. It can go either way. So it's very interesting in that way. So if you're listening, yeah, some of us who've been doing readings for a long time still love it just as much as we did in the beginning. So thank you for being in our lives.
Exactly.
So one of the interesting things we were talking about was Tesla, Edison, and technology. And you have some pretty fascinating insights about that. So would you share them for us?
Well, I'm a huge fan of Tesla. I always have been. And I started out in college as a math major. So you learn a lot about, you know, quantum physics and things like that. I had amazing math professors. And I've always been interested in Tesla and free energy. And Tesla patented free energy back in the 1880s. So it's been around for a while. The work that Tesla had, he was an amazing man. I'm just incredibly spiritual, incredibly intuitive. And all of his, and he had the misfortune of going to work with Thomas Edison, and whose lab was funded by J.P. Morgan. So just so you know, we would all have free energy right now if it hadn't been for J.P. Morgan, seeing that there was a financial incentive to charging people for electricity when Tesla intended for us to have it for free. So the power outages and things like that you've got, totally unnecessary. But you know, Tesla said, if you look at the power, understand the power of 3, 6, and 9, you can understand the secrets of the universe. So everything about what Tesla wrote, you know, has a meaning today. And he's part of this, even though he's dead, he's been dead for a number of years. His technology is part of this transition too, because when we understand our own energetic sovereignty, then we become part of the matrix instead of being controlled by the matrix. And Tesla was, if you read a lot of Tesla's writing, he was really big on energetic sovereignty, you know, understanding the power that you have within you. And this is a lot of what I've been writing about too, because it's really becoming energetically sovereign. Not that you can, you know, you can manifest what you want in your life as long as you're aligned with it. And it's not magic, like presto changeo. And, you know, here's the pot at the end of the rainbow. It's a lot more.
I wish.
Yeah. Wouldn't we all, but it's really about learning to control energy, to manage your own energetic resources, which is what Tesla was all about.
And I think that's a great point that you're making. I think deep down, all of us know that we can have free energy. The energy is free. Energy can be multiplied. Good energy can be passed around. And that may be a near future concept that we're all working on in the group awakening. But that was one thing I was feeling when you were talking about it. And that would certainly be a great deal of freedom. You know, I think all the time we should almost be in utopia with the technology that we have right now. And instead, it's sort of the opposite of that. But with our minds and our hearts, we can change that.
We should. You know, I read this interesting thing on Telegram yesterday. They had this photo, and I'd seen these before here and there in pictures. You don't hear about them a lot. But in the 1920s, they had electric scooters that had an electric cars that had a range of over 1,200 miles. And today's like Tesla, which is like the premier automaker, their electric cars only have a range of 400 miles. What happened to that technology? What were they building these batteries of in the 1910s and the 1920s in these cars that they could operate cars on electricity?
That is a wonderful thought. You know, if you're listening out there and you're awakening, you're pretty smart. So if some of you want to research that or put those ideas out, mm-hmm. that's another way that the future can be changed. So the other thing that I wanted to get to, my impression of the new age or where we are right now, it feels as though so many emotions are getting cleared. And I loved what you wrote about anger and forgiveness. And I know lots of people that are working with that. Can you explain that a little to our listeners?
So anger is an emotion. You know, we get angry when we feel out of control, we think things aren't working out or they're not working out right, or we get afraid. Anger is a really great response to fear. You know, I'm not scared. I'm going to do this anyway. But anger is also one of these emotions that we can use, you know, as a weapon, but also as a source of power. And people don't realize that when you say, you know, oh, forgive someone and just forget it, there's a lot of, I mean, anything you think that you have to forgive involves somebody's bad behavior. So forgiveness is not an absolution and it's not an excuse of bad behavior. Forgiveness, there's two parts to that. You know, one is the energy, the other is the emotion. And anger becomes part of that because you have to deal with your own anger and you have to realize where the anger is sourced, but also understand that if your anger is a source of power, then you have to figure out another source of power if you're going to get rid of the anger. So if the anger is what's driving you, you know, remember Scarlett O'Hara and Gone with the Wind, as God is my witness, I'll never be hungry again. So what does she do? She builds this massive empire and becomes really rich so that she never has to be hungry again. Well, what drove that? Her anger. And if you're using anger as a source of power or as a weapon against someone, like, I'm going to show you just how much you messed up my life by being poor and broken and you know, destitute forever, then you're using that anger as a weapon and it's using it against yourself. But the forgiveness piece is important because we have such a hard time with forgiveness because we think it's something that it's not. So it's not an excuse for bad behavior. Bad behavior is bad behavior. You never have to excuse somebody's bad behavior. What you have to decide with forgiveness is how long you're going to carry the burden of that emotion. And then that makes the forgiveness possible. So when you think of forgiveness as a divorce, it's like telling someone, you know what, this happened, I'm over it. I am done. So I am done with this energy. I'm not carrying it around anymore. I don't excuse your bad behavior. So I'm deciding that I'm not going to have anything to do with you. And, you know, and maybe it's somebody that you can't completely write off in your life. So then you don't engage with them emotionally.
Right.
And if you look at forgiveness that way, it then becomes a personal choice rather than something, oh, I should do this. Because, you know, I'm one of these people, I remember everything. Believe me, if you do something to me that is, you know, bad or you know, untoward in some way, I am never going to forget it. I don't have the ability to forget. I just can't. I can remember my phone number from when I was 5 years old.
Me too.
I mean, just one of those. My head is full of weird facts like that. But we will never forget. Our minds don't work that way. What we need to make the choice in forgiveness is how long do you want to carry that energy? And then that's the choice.
Yeah. Sometimes I have to forgive myself for having put myself in that situation. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that can be part of it. You know, you can stay angry at yourself, but that just creates more of it. Now, another thing that you said that's so interesting to me is that for some people, we're really leaving behind karmic relationships as we move into the light.
Yep. So one of the things I wanted to say that kind of ties into that is, you know, karma is all about atonement. Karma, you know, it's that replay of you hurt me, now I'm going to hurt you. I hurt you, now you're going to hurt me. So it's just this recycling of energy through different lifetimes. And all it takes to end karma is for one person to say, okay, I'm done. And then you're done. I'm not doing this anymore. And one of the things, one of the greatest gifts we can give ourselves to end these karmic relationships, well, is two. One is to realize we're not supposed to be healing anybody. It's not our job to heal anybody. It's our job to hold that healing out and say, you know what, here's an alternative, and then see if they take it or not. And the other is, when you forgive yourself for putting yourself in that situation, a great way to say that is, I forgive myself for thinking it was my job to change this person's life or to heal them or to help them or to fix them in some way. Because that ends all the karma right there.
It really is. And we use up so much energy trying to fix things instead of moving ahead and creating new things. And if those people change, they'll catch up with us on our path. And they won't catch up with us if they don't want to change, or at least that's been my experience.
You know, one time my daughter wouldn't eat her lunch, like, and, you know, and I mean, I wasn't rich at the time, so not, you know, I didn't, and I grew up with parents who lived through the World War II in Europe and the Depression. So, you know, you didn't throw food away in my house when I grew up, and I could never throw food away. So my daughter wouldn't eat her lunch. She was just being difficult. She was like 5 years old. So at dinner time, we were having like her favorite dinner, which was like sloppy joes and french fries. And she got her sandwich from lunch. And I said, I can't throw food away. So unless you can ask your brother to eat it or maybe your dad, but I'm not throwing this food away and I don't want it. She ate her sandwich crying. She ate the sandwich. So imagine with karma, it's like you're being served leftovers, you know, time. I don't know about you, but after about the second time, I'm done with leftovers. Like they go to the compost bin. I just can't do it anymore.
No.
But think of, you know, being served this dish of leftovers again and again and again. You know, at some point you look at it and you go, this isn't even appetizing. Like this isn't even edible anymore.
Right. That's so true. Oh, one exciting thing I forgot to ask you about is tell our listeners about a glitch in the matrix.
Oh, so yeah, that got a lot of interest from my audience. So we are getting these glitches in the matrix. So if you've seen the movie, The Matrix, and you like fast forward to the end where Neo suddenly realizes what, you know, his role in the matrix and what it's all about. So we get these big energy downloads. So imagine like an electric current. And there's like a big power surge and all of a sudden the current just goes, zzz, you know, kind of like you get like a power surge in your house. The lights will go off for a minute and come back on. So where the matrix say is, you know, kind of all put together, it's all aligned. When you get a glitch in the matrix, it's like it comes apart and all of a sudden there's no alignment anymore. And everything just goes all chaos and, you know, just everything. You can see it in people. People just kind of go a little bit nuts for a little while and everything feels like it's out of alignment because it is. So then we have to bring in the energy to fix the glitch in the matrix, but that it's like an opening into a sudden insight or a sudden realization. And as we were talking with readings, like when you do a reading for someone and you tell them something or you talk about like you give them an insight or you reveal something to them, there's a glitch in their matrix. It's like The understanding they had all of a sudden, it's not there anymore. Like, oh, I didn't realize that, or I never saw it that way. So they can never go back to the old way because they have this new understanding, but they have to now adjust to this new way. And that's what with so many people awakening right now, there's so much collective energy rise, there's so much of the collective consciousness that's expanding, that when we get these big energy downloads, the matrix just goes, and then Everybody's like, oh no, because your whole worldview, your self view, but also your whole worldview shifts. And now you have to fill in the energy gap and you can feel those glitches in the matrix. It's just, it comes on as a really unsettling feeling, like something just happened.
Right. Like, yeah, like I know exactly what you're saying, because we all project our perception of what reality is today, tomorrow, the next day. And when the molecules come apart or rearrange themselves in a different way, nothing really works. But then like all of a sudden you're sitting there and you have this profound realization. And then an hour later, you're like, why did I think everything wasn't working? I feel better than I did before. You know, it's a strange kind of little moment.
It's that moment where you realize, okay, you know, something has like changed And now you've got to put it together, but you can't really put it back together because The old thing, you know, it's like, I had this little dish. It was a Wedgwood dish, the only piece of Wedgwood I could afford at the time. It was like a little coaster. And I had that coaster for, I don't even want to say it, like 40 years. How's my daughter? Yeah. For at least 40 years. And it broke. It just broke. It must be because it was 40 years old. It broke one day. So I glued it all back together and I used it to put my little glass for my nightstand. And then it broke again. And I thought, you know, it's already broken once. And then the part that I fixed broke. And then another part broke. And now it was in like five pieces. I'm looking at it going, okay, I can fix it again. Maybe it's just time to throw it away. Mm-hmm. Because it was a memory of a time in my life that wasn't maybe the best time in my life, the happiest time. And every time I looked at that thing, I was taken back into that timeline, into that part of my matrix. And I looked at it and thought, you know, the universe is telling me something. How is it that I use this absolutely unbreakable, you know, this super, super, super glue to glue it all back together that's supposed to, you know, work forever. And it broke anyway.
Yeah, because Wedgwood doesn't break. My grandmother had a lot of it, and we would knock it off every now and then, and it didn't break.
Well,
it doesn't come apart. It's amazing stuff.
Mine broke. My, literally, it just kind of broke apart. It was on my nightstand, and I heard crack, and the I noticed the glass tipped over, and I looked at the little dish, and it was like broken in three pieces.
It happens, but what you're really saying is this glitch in the matrix is really only healed by a higher consciousness thought for people who are experiencing it.
Well, it's like the matrix as it is can no longer be supported by the energy that's there. So it's like a belief system. So the matrix really is the collection of our belief system. So when enough people say, I don't want the matrix to be this way. I don't want separation and division. Mm-hmm. I don't want darkness. I don't want, you know, the control and everything else that's going on in the world right now. I want something different. There's not enough energy. It's like the matrix gets weaker and weaker. And all of a sudden this new energy comes in and it breaks. There's a glitch because there's enough energy saying we want change. So yes, the matrix has to come apart because there's nothing that supports it. So now this new energy comes in. We've got a new matrix and everyone's going, oh no, what did we do? Now we have to, you know, create a new matrix. We have to create, like, fix the broken parts or fix the parts that opened up. But we have to bring something new because the old energy won't work anymore.
That's a perfect explanation. And then just for people who go around thinking that they're different or they don't fit in, I wondered if you'd share the dream you would have as a little girl of being the only person that was awake.
That was tough. I mean, I've always been exceptionally intuitive, even as a very, very young child. I had my first intuitive experience that I remember when I was like 2.5 years old. It was hard to be, you know, to be awake in a sleeping world, but now we're awake in a world that's waking up. So, you know, all of us, because we've been, you know, doing this for lifetimes, but all of us who do this work have to wake up too. You know, we have to adjust to the new matrix. We have to adjust to the way we teach. You know, there are people who are coming in who don't know anything, but there are also people who, like us, they're ready for, like, you know, the next thing. They're ready for the higher levels.
A lot of people who are thinking they are different are just empaths or intuitives, but now there are a lot more people who are on that vibration.
Right. So you're not the different one anymore. It's kind of like like the first person who wears a new style, you know, everybody looks at you like, oh, you're weird. And then everybody else wears that style. It's like, okay, now everybody else is wearing, you know, leggings or whatever, or hats, or you're not the only one anymore.
So hopefully as we go into this new level, we can all become a little more creative with the energies, because what you're speaking of the matrix really breaking and then coming back together in a higher thought form, and so many more people who are intuitive, that's a pretty big shift for the future.
It's a huge shift for the future. You know, and we've, again, there were a few people at the beginning who were doing this and everybody else was going, now, I used to look at people who were like living their lives and doing their things and having great jobs and thinking, what am I missing here? Like, where's my instruction book? You know, why are they doing that? You know, I'm sitting here, I'm supposed to be doing spiritual work and, you know, I'm broke and having all these problems. And then, you know, it was just a matter of holding the energy, of holding the fort, literally, until everybody else started catching up and people started thinking, oh, it's a, you know, this is a good idea. And then, of course, you got all the weird people who thought, you know, then it became like, you know, a Hollywood thing where it's like, you know, it's spiritual la la land. And then you got, but, you know, that's going away too. So now you have the spirituality, the awareness of energy and things like that are now more part of the mainstream.
Right. Because those energies to me are more apparent. I mean, maybe it's because I've done this work, but you and I both know that you can just walk around and feel who's happy, who's attuned to their inner self, who is on the new set of higher vibrations. And that was not a palpable thing when we first started. You were either pretty much high or low.
And you can tell the people who aren't.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's really painfully obvious who not only is not, but is completely rejecting that.
Mm-hmm.
And there are, you know, I call those energy gaps when you separate people from, you know, and it's not a separation. It's not a, well, what we're seeing is they're trying to force separations, but it's really a separation by, you know, how much, where your frequency and vibration are and how much light you're willing to, you know, to live with and how much darkness you're willing to live with. There are going to be people who are literally going to be in that dark space, and that's where they want to be. And we have to honor that. But there are also a lot of other people who are, you know, slowly kind of some are straggling, making their way into the light. Your only job is just to shine so that when they need to see the light, they find one.
Right. And let's add to that, we're not going to fix people anymore. That was the Piscean age, where you received a lot of energy for giving away a lot of energy. The Aquarian age is it needs to be balanced. You try to give the right amount of energy, which is a pretty big change from what we were taught on a religious level.
It is. And the whole era of suffering and, you know, the martyred healer and being, you know, in the trenches with people, it's like, there's enough information out there that if they want to find it, they will, you know, and that's not being cold or cold hearted. It's really, it's being honest. You know, it's like, imagine if you went to a restaurant and you order your food and the server brings your food. And instead of saying, enjoy your meal and walking away, they sat down next to you and put a bib around your neck and started feeding you and saying, okay, you're going to eat every single bite of this. You know, you would never go to that restaurant again. And you would think they were completely out of their minds. But that's what we do when we feel like it's incumbent on us to stick with someone until we literally heal them and transform them and change their lives in some way. We just need to put the food on the table and say, you know what, when you're hungry, there's the food. Go ahead, you know, enjoy yourself.
Mm-hmm. And that's a big shift from where we were before. I also want to add that about the time that you and I started, there were very, very few spiritual websites. I mean, maybe like 20. And think of all the information that's out there now.
Mm-hmm. I started my newsletter. It grew pretty quickly. I wrote one of the first spiritual newsletters out there. I was one of the first ones. My first newsletter went out in February of 2004, and it grew really quickly. But I was writing to an audience, you know, that was growing organically, but it was a difficult process. I built my first website from GoDaddy's Website Complete, which they no longer sell. But I can remember, you know, that there was hardly any internet. Nobody bought from the internet. It was tough. It was difficult. It's a lot different today, but we certainly have a lot more going for us in terms of you know, what that is, what's available, and yeah. But I want to say too, use discernment, because there are a lot of people, just because someone says they're spiritual, I mean, that has a whole range of meanings. So you'll be attracted to the people who really resonate with you and not attracted to the people who don't.
Mm-hmm. And the other part of that is, you know, there are some people who used to say, I read this in a book. Well, it doesn't mean the book is true. The same thing is about the internet. There's good information. There's bad information. Mm-hmm. You have to see how it makes you feel. Feelings in the heart are related to intuition. And you really want to feel it in your heart. And you want to see if your vibration stays up afterwards.
Exactly. If you have a really, my litmus test for that is I just can't read it. Like I can't get past the first couple sentences. I find myself being bored by it, or it just doesn't feel right to me. It's not for me.
Right.
So, yep. You know, everybody has an audience. Every teacher has an audience, and every student has teachers. And, you know, there are people out there that some people love. I don't resonate with them at all. I don't promote them. I don't follow them. I don't read their stuff. I'm just not interested. They're just not for me. That's not to say they aren't for other people. You know, like Sylvia Brown was a good starter. She was a good mm-hmm. starter person. You know, she wasn't for everybody, but she did bring a lot of people to spiritual awareness.
She really did. And the thing is as you grow, what attracted you in the beginning, you may go back and go, oh, this is so easy. Why did I think this was so great? Well, it was a beginning.
Right.
And beginnings are good.
You can't go, it's not like your ex-husband or your ex-wife where, you know, you look at them 20 years later and go, God, what was I thinking? And you have to go back to at the time, they were the best person ever. So, you know, 20 years later, they're not, but it's 20 years later.
Right. So if there's one thought that you want people to hold about the future or the way they're seeing the future, what would that be, Jennifer?
It's that it goes back to energetic sovereignty. So I wrote, when I would write predictions every year. So I wrote for the predictions for 2021. This was the year of energetic sovereignty. And everybody thought, oh, good, we're going to get to do whatever we want. And it's all going to be fun and easy. Well, we had to claim our energetic sovereignty and own it and stand up for it and insist on it. And it's that you have to believe that your light, your energy, your intention, what you do does make a difference. It does. It may not feel like it. You may feel, you know, really small and insignificant in the face of what's going on in the world, but you don't know who you inspire. You don't know who you uplift, and you don't really have any idea of, you know, how your energy fits on the continuum. So the matrix is all of us. We are all part of the matrix. So every single person that shines their light just adds another light to what's already shining out there. And it's our collective light together that brings about, you know, the change in the frequency and the vibration and the energy of the world. So even though it feels like the world's driving over a cliff, and sometimes it feels like that to us too, we've talked about it. You just have to get back on the wagon and go, okay, yes, it's going, but you know what? I've still got my foot on the brake and I'm still helping us steer away from disaster. And, you know, sometimes, and I know this is true, and for all of you who have children, or this is true too, you have to show people the worst of the worst before they will wake up. And even though things look pretty grim in some parts of the world, there are other parts of the world where, you know, people are supporting them. We're all working together on this, and we're all working together to bring this about. We can't avoid the disaster because it's part of the process. I have this ascension kind of diagram that I write about. You know, here's first we have descension, which is the energy coming down. So it doesn't start with, oh, we're all ascending. It starts with, you know, awakening, you know, seeing the problem. You know, there's like disintegration and there's chaos. So as the matrix disintegrates, chaos is a byproduct of that.
Right.
Think of what happens if you have a feather pillow and it gets a hole in it or it splits. What happens to the feathers? Poof, they go everywhere. I have feather pillows. And then we go across the 4D bridge, which is transcension. And then we go through ascension.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of work. I was thinking when you were encouraging people, there've been times when I had manifestations that I worked for really deeply for a long time. But as a human being, my first thought was, oh, what did I do to bring it into being? And the first thing I would think of would be the last three or four things that I did. And I would go back and then think, no, it was like 1,000 small things. And that's sort of where we are. We're on the level where we're doing this 1,000 small things, I think.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's people always look for the big thing, like the big ascension. There is no big ascension. You know, it's an ongoing process. We have to celebrate these little milestones, these little steps, this little achievement. You know, every little understanding, every little insight, every little realization is another step on that journey. And we can't shortchange ourselves by going, oh, the world's a mess. I must have done the wrong thing. Like, I'm just going to quit. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not helpful. It's just
And it's not going to work right now either.
No.
You have shared so many wonderful things with us. Can you tell our listeners, I know you have one upcoming course on business and another one on 360, and then let our listeners know where they can find you for readings and information and newsletter.
Okay. So you can find my newsletter, get information on readings on my website, enlighteninglife.com. You can find me on Facebook. There's a link on my page. My Facebook page is Like Jennifer. I didn't realize how many people have the name Jennifer Hoffman. Believe me, a lot. It's a very common name, which, you know, shocked the hell out of me. I have this program called Becoming 360, which is really Becoming 360 Energy Mastery. And it's all about the wholeness, but not just the wholeness. So I teach healing as a two-part process, completion and closure. And then you move into wholeness, and then you move into congruence. So not only do things work, but they actually fit. They belong together. They work together. So my Becoming 360 Energy Mastery program is all about, it's called It's got its own little acronym, AIM, Alignment, Integration, Mastery, for Awe, Abundance, Wealth, and Expansion. And it's, by the way, the content that was stolen from me by Christine Kane, by a certain person on the internet who has since paid the price for stealing content from me. I also have a new business program that I'm launching mainly for startups. I do coaching and consulting for other businesses too. But I wanted to bring it forward. You know, I'm a business and technology expert. Business is my background. I've got business degrees. I've got decades of experience in technology and business. I wanted to bring an affordable, really foundational training for people who want to start their business. Everyone who's losing their job right now, everyone who's being forced to quit their job because they don't want to make a choice that they don't want to make. You need some kind of alternative. And you need business training that is affordable, designed for entrepreneurs, but also that's useful and applicable, that, you know, teaches business principles along with the technology that you need and can use to implement your business today. So that's going to be called the Cash Flow for Profit Club. It's launching as soon as my admin and I get that last little piece done. So probably next week. And it's going to be affordable. You become a founding member for only $47 a month. I also have a background in law. I was paralegal for a number of years. So there's law, there's cash flow, which is this big strategy I teach, finance, and of course, technology, how to set up your business, everything you need to know to start, manage, and grow your business.
You get it from someone who's on a higher light level. So go and check out Jennifer's work at lightninglife.com. Mm-hmm. And you can sign up for my weekly newsletter on my website, One True Self, onetrueself.com. And you can read about the energetic awakening, my ideas, or what's coming up on the show. So thank you so much for tuning into the Power of Inspiration Awakening show, where you can find a higher vibration. Please join me on the second and fourth Wednesdays of each month at 12 noon Eastern, 11 Central, and 9 a.m. Pacific. So have a wonderful week, and I'll see you back here next time. And again, thank you, Jennifer. You were wonderful.
Oh, thank you, Julia. It's always great to be with you on your show.
It's lovely. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Join us next time as Julia takes us deeper into the memory of the moments of light where transcendence and enlightenment emerge. The memory of the jewel of consciousness is always lived within you to tap into waves of energy and create huge changes by imagining the beauty of the vision and desires that are hidden in the heart. Learn to find your way back to nature, beauty, and your own heart, which holds the secrets of your existence and future. To discover more about Julia's adventures, animal communication, and the teachings she brings to every show, visit onetrueself.com. That's onetrueself.com. That's O-N-E, trueself.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.